Well, it's always an honor to be with all of you, and even more so, you know, I didn't have the opportunity, just kind of caught up in the moment during the last service, but we have an amazing pastor here, Pastor Steve. Yeah, you definitely. He has one of those unique abilities of really seeing those diamonds in the rough and cultivating people and training people, loving people, so that they are encouraged to live out their fullness in their relationship with the Lord. And I'm so thankful that he was sensitive to what the Spirit of God was saying, that he had the eyes to see potential. And then he continued by investing in myself, our family. And he's really been through a lot of things with us, and I could go into a bunch of different stories, and I'm not going to, but I can tell you that Pastor Steve is a man who is dedicated to the mission of God. He loves God. He loves you as a church, and he's fighting a great fight, and it's just been a privilege and an honor for myself and my family to really be a part of the team here at Living Water, and I want to extend that thanks and that acknowledgement to each one of you, because you've been invaluable to us. I mean, this was our first full-time ministry position. We had been in ministry before, but I can't tell you how much we've grown and how much your relationships with us have really continued to help shape us. I mean, obviously God is doing a work in our life, but he brings people into our lives, and that's all of you, to really be an encouragement to us and to see things about us that we wouldn't have seen before had you not been in those places, those hallway conversations or those special men's gatherings or the serving that we've done in our community. It's really shaped us. And so I, on behalf of myself and my family, we just want to thank you for your investment in us, your love for us. It's times like last night we were at a local restaurant and we saw a brother of ours, Kaena. And he wasn't coming to join. He wasn't coming to dine into the place that we were dining, but he came in just to love on us, just to say hello. And we're so privileged for the call that God has on our life, but it's really bittersweet because we love you so much. And it's just difficult. And I don't want to get too much into it because I'll just break down on the stage and it'll be ugly, you know, how that goes. So anyway, I just want to say thank you because we love you so much and we're so thankful for the love that you have shown to our family. And so to get into the message today, it's titled, and you guys have the notes in front of you, Transformed by a Missional God. And the topic that we're really going to be looking at is how the church and God's people can be missional through change. And this is important that you recognize that we go through change all the time in life. And some of it we see as good, some of it we see as not so good, but ultimately God works those things together for the good of those who love him, right? And if you're just hearing that for the first time, I would encourage you to continue taking steps of faith in getting to know our Father. Because it's not just what you know up here, it's what he does transformationally with that knowledge, how he transfers it into heart knowledge that we get to experience, because it is, and it has to do with everything that we read about in the Bible that talks about God, the heart of God, the mission of God, the love of God, the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God. But if that isn't partnered with true life experience, it's not transformational. So I would challenge all of you, those who see the Bible as a book that is academic, I would challenge you to be in prayer that God would transform your way of thinking, because he wants to have a relationship with you. And that's what brings about true transformation. And so we continue talking about being transformed by a missional God. Again, change happens. Would you all agree? Change happens. I'm thinking just about people in general and in putting this message together, just really trying to follow God's lead. And it was interesting because he started out with love. And he said, you know, people fall in love. And that changes things. Transversely, some people experience falling out of love, and that transforms your life as well. Some people get married, and that's a really great thing. That transforms a lot of things. And unfortunately, some people get divorced, and that also brings about change. All of mankind experiences death, and yet we all can celebrate life through the birth of a child, and how amazing that is. When it comes to church, churches embrace new people all the time. It's one of the things I love about our church, and especially given the community that we're in, because we're in a very transitional, transient community. And I don't mean transient in a negative connotation. I just mean that people come in and they go and they transition. And it's this flowing thing that happens. And we're blessed to be in a community like that because we have the opportunity of sharing the love of Christ with others on a multitude of occasions, you know? And so some churches get to really embrace people quite often. And yet we see in church that a lot of times there are people within those same congregations that leave, and that brings about change too. Unfortunately, sometimes churches have to close their doors. But other times, we have the opportunity to open our doors a little bit wider, and we have the chance to expand. And that brings about transformation. That brings about change. Again, change. It happens. Sometimes it's significant, other times it appears rather formidable, but the good news is there exists one that never changes. Never changes. Who remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you'll read that in scripture, just go through the book of Hebrews, but you'll also see it above our doors right there. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a testimony to who our God is. Technology can change, governments can change, cultures can change, but amidst any and all kinds of change, God remains the same. So the proposition for all of us, myself included, is that regardless of whether we're talking about the church or individual believers, in order for either to process change successfully, both need to focus on who God is, have a clear understanding of who God is and who God's people and his church have been created for so that we can be successful in our journey in life. So, are you guys ready to dive in to a little bit of what change looks like and how we can process through it? All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much again for gathering us here today, for the opportunity to praise you, God, to give to you our love. We're so thankful, God, that you are a God that is present in our lives, not distant or somebody that we can come to worship, but also somebody that we are in relationship with. And so, Father, I just pray that through the word that you speak today, that we would all have sensitive ears and hearts and minds and spirits to really hear what your spirit would be speaking to us. That we would continue to be transformed by you, God, for your glory, for the advancement of your kingdom, and for our relationship. So we love you, God, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. So as I stated before, in order for either the church or God's people to process change successfully, both need to focus on and have a clear understanding of who God is and what they've been created for. So really, we have to take some steps in moving forward with that. And the first step in taking the right direction is asking and answering. I'm going to say that again. You have to ask and you have the burden of answering the question, who is God? Who is God? In dealing with change, this is the most important question for us to ask and answer, because moving forward is dependent on us remembering that our God is a loving and missional God. I'm going to read to you some scripture, and for some of you, you've heard this a multitude of times. I'm going to kind of take us back to a foundational pairing of scripture that some of you will be like, oh, wow, I'm back in Sunday school again. Listen, I want you to hear this afresh, because This is important. This is the bedrock. This is the foundation that we process change through. And it comes out of the book of John, chapter 3. Can anybody guess the verses? 16 and 17. D, you had your raised hand. That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad you're here, man. Okay, so John 3:16. I'm going to be reading it out of the Good News Bible, which I believe for this message translates the heart of God that he wants us to hear today. John 3:16 and 17. For God loved the world so much. I love how it has that emphasis on so much. It's amazing how much God loves us. It's really actually when you think about just unfathomable how he loves us. God loves us so much that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to be its judge but to be its savior. These two verses are critical in our understanding of getting a clear snapshot of who God is. God is a loving God, and he's missional. He loves us, which is why he sent his son Jesus. That through his son Jesus, through his life, his teachings, and his mission, that we would come to know that we're loved by God. And that in Jesus, we're capable of living a purposeful life, because not are we only part of God's plan, we're called to be a part of his mission. And so you might be asking at this point, okay, Pastor Mike, that's great. We need to know who God is. But how does that help me as a believer, or how does that help us as a church process change? And this is a pretty simple message today, and it's not going to take a whole lot of time. Don't laugh, you Seahawks fans. This isn't intentional, okay? Listen. The answer is quite simple. Keeping the love of God and the mission of God at the center of our life, at the center of our church, is the only way that we can be assured that we're moving forward according to God's will. Do you understand that? It's crucial. It's essential. There are so many opportunities out there, but where is God in those opportunities? Is he at the forefront? Is his love and his mission at the forefront of those decisions? Because if he's not, then we can run into problems. For the believer, and I'll explain this a little bit more, for the believer, there's a Danish philosopher and theologian by the name of Soren Kierkegaard. And he's quoted as saying, unlike the admirer who stands simply aloof, the follower of Christ strives to be what he admires. Without this essential condition, all attempts to be Christian are fruitless. If Christ isn't at the center, if Christ isn't who we're trying to be like, what's the point? What's the point in following after all these different things just because they're good ideas? If God's not in it, if God's not the reason behind it, it's really pointless. And you'll see that because the fruit that'll come from it will be fruit of man, of the flesh. And that's not eternal. We need the fruits of the Spirit, right? Come on now. I know you're out there. I'm hearing you. That's right. That's right. I love that. So this idea of striving to be what we admire refers to believers striving to be like Jesus. Striving to be like who? Jesus, right? Kierkegaard also is quoted in saying that Jesus, Christ, is the truth in as much as he is the way. Now, what he's doing right now is giving an obvious reference to a declaration that Jesus gave, and you can read it for yourself in John chapter 14, where Jesus says, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what he's saying here, and this is the completeness of the quote, Christ is the truth inasmuch as he is the way. He who does not follow in the way also abandons the truth. If you're not following Christ, then you're not really living in the truth. We possess Christ's truth only by imitating him, not by speculating about him. I think that's one of the problems with the church today. And I don't mean this as a negative critique, but just kind of the reality that we face. We do a lot of talking and not a whole lot of living like Jesus. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about other churches, you know. No. We all can work on that. Amen? Living like Jesus, and not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just at a Bible study or a youth gathering or a service event, but every single day. I had somebody come up to me after the last service, and she said, some people come to church on Sunday to be fed. And she's like, I actually like to think of it as believers going to a grocery store to gather what they need for the entirety of the week. Not that we would just eat on Sunday, but that we would have the means of sustaining ourselves throughout the week. Nobody can survive on just one meal for the entire week. It's not healthy. It's not good. It's not God's plan. So striving to be like Jesus, striving to live and be like Jesus, despite whatever changes life will throw at us, is the way we move forward. I'm going to read a narrative that comes out of the book of Luke chapter 4 that talks about Jesus and a really profound moment in his ministry. Luke chapter 4, starting in 16. Then Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him as he said to them, "This passage of scripture has come true today as you heard it being read." I love that. Through the reading of really a prophetic message, a prophetic scripture out of the book of Isaiah, Jesus reveals to us the love of God and the mission of God that we as Christians and the church are called to co-labor and participate in with him. Bringing good news to the poor. I mean, come on, how many of you have a testimony in here? How many of you know the redemptive message that is Jesus Christ? How many of you have seen God work in your life and bring about this transformation? That is the good news that we are called to bring to those who are poor. And I'm not just talking socioeconomically poor. I'm talking about spiritually poor. Proclaiming liberty to the captives. Freedom for those people who are trapped in sin. Trapped in addiction, trapped in a multitude of other things that God wants to free them from. Who else is going to tell them that there is freedom in Christ except for you and I? Recovery of sight to the blind, that people would have the ability to understand and embrace truth instead of the lies of the enemy. And you all know who I'm talking about. We're talking about the devil, because he is littered this world full of lies. And in order for this world to be transformed, we have to stand in opposition to those bringing forth the good news, the truth of who God is and his purpose for people's lives. And finally, to set the oppressed, set free the oppressed, and announce that the Lord saves, because Jesus has conquered death. Jesus has conquered death, and through belief in him, we are given new life. I want you, if you guys are taking notes, I want you to really key on this. Change doesn't redefine God's mission. Change does not redefine God's mission. Change happens, but it's God's mission that defines how we navigate that change in our lives. And this truth holds true for the church as well. One of the things that we're being challenged by, the church as a whole, our church, the Western church, the Eastern church, everybody is being challenged to be taken captive by the mission of God, the agenda of Jesus. Because oftentimes what we try to do is we try to mold Jesus to our agendas. and the changes we're experiencing. Now, I'll be one to testify about this church. We don't do that. And some of you may not understand this, but our pastoral staff, our entirety of our staff, the elders, the leaders of our church constantly recalibrate ourselves against the life, the mission, and the love of Christ constantly, because it's imperative for us to move forward. And our pastor leads that change. We need to continue to let God be God and embrace his plans for the church. Paul wrote to the churches in Ephesus, churches that in that time were navigating change just like we are today. And he wrote to them, and this is out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. He says to them, and this is an exhortation, this is an encouragement, this is a focus. He says, "You too are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord." Following Jesus' life, his teachings, his mission is what keeps the church knitted together. Sharp, focused, missional. And I'm not talking about the Jesus, I want to put a good frame for you. I'm not talking about the Jesus that's been kind of sterilized over the centuries, that often is pictured as one who is conventional and safe and refined. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Gospels. If you haven't read it, go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Because our Messiah, Jesus, was one who lived a life and had a message that was so fierce and radical and transformational and outrageous that people, religious people, were turned off by him. But the very people that needed a savior willingly embraced him. They banded together as a community dedicated to participating in his mission, seeing the kingdom of God transform the fallenness, the brokenness of the world that we live in. That's the kind of church that's unstoppable. That's the kind of church that I know we are called to be. A church that's unstoppable. Man, I think about the church in the book of Acts, and I think just how radical and transformational they were. And I think about our church, and I think about how we pursue God's mission and how we labor intensely, especially in the world we live in that would like to say God is not relevant. The church is not relevant. We have, you know, self-help, we have technology, we have all of these resources. Why do you need God? And the reality is that the church needs to become and should remain relevant, transforming the community it lives in. Despite change in culture and government and technology, we must remain the ecclesia. And that's a fancy word for the gathering of the called out ones, that we are called together to sharpen one another, to grow so that we can go because we've been called out to share the good news. And the way we do this is quite simple. We reach people with the love, the truth, and the mission that is Jesus. We champion harmony and the well-being of our neighbors because we love God and we love others. So I'm going to wrap things up. But remember, again, it's not change that redefines God's mission. It's God's mission that defines how we as God's people and the church bring the kingdom of God into the world that we live in. So may it be, as we close, that we, God's people, God's church, remain focused not on other things, but on God, his love, his mission, regardless of whatever changes we go through, whatever we experience. God's love, his mission must stay in focus, because we're going to testify through our words and our deeds that we truly have been transformed by a loving and missional God. Amen? Let's pray. Amen. Father, again, thank you for the simplicity of your word. Thank you for the simplicity of your good news. Thank you for the simplicity of recalibration that needs to take place for us as believers, for us as a church, I know there are other things that play out in this, God, but I pray that you continue to lead us by your Holy Spirit, keeping the main thing, keeping our eyes locked and focused in on you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who loved the world so much that you gave of yourself that we could be restored in our relationship with you. That's the good news that you've given us, God. I pray that we would leave from here changed, transformed, continuing to grow, that we would see your kingdom continue to expand because, God, we need you here. And we're looking for your return. But we know that there is a time and a place for all of those things. And for right now, your mission for us is to love you and to love others, to share your good news with the world around us, that they too would be transformed by a loving and missional God. So we thank you, God. We praise you. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.